I got really tired of going to presentations about K-12 and where they always had cute kids, so I really worked hard to find not cute kids for my, and because I have a first grader and a preschooler, and you know, yeah, they're cute as heck for like 10 minutes out of the day. So what I want to talk about is some research and coming out of a MacArthur grant, which talks about the K-12 environment as possibly not being ideal for studying information seeking. And what I think you're going to hear from all these different perspectives is you sort of have the three blind mice and the elephant problem, which is if you approach it, you know, one grabs his tail and says, I've got a snake, and one grabs, and et cetera. The point is that it is, as Marshall pointed out, a very multifaceted environment. So I'm going to be looking at it primarily from studying youth information-seeking behavior. And where this comes out of is the MacArthur Foundation. Well, that's interesting. The MacArthur Foundation decided that their next big thing in the world was going to be look at youth and digital and learning. So how do youth learn online? And what they did was they commissioned a series of volumes they commissioned a series of books on digital media to look at... This will be online too. It's just a joke we have amongst ourselves. They're on everything from civic engagement and things on the ecology of gaming and race and ethnicity and identity. And I'm going to be talking about some stuff that's coming out of the credibility volume, looking about credibility on as youth are getting information online, how can they trust it, how is it reliable, how do they determine it. And specifically, there were three of us working on three chapters, and we all sort of came to a very common consensus, which wasn't that rosy. Francis Harris, who's at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign in their laboratory school, so she's a school library media specialist and a professor, who'd looked at challenges to teaching credibility assessment in contemporary schooling. Rick Weingarten of ALA, their Office of Information Technology Policy, who looks specifically at politics and public policy as it relates to education. And then myself looking at technology on the internet and how we could build different credibility tools. Well, what was interesting is that all of them, we sort of identified this stacked deck against K-12 information seeking. We were looking specifically at how they would evaluate credibility, but I think it's a wider problem, which is if you first look at conservative policies, and here I'm not talking conservative liberal, I'm talking conservatives in let's go slow and be very careful conservative. Conservative policies, that iceberg that was mentioned before, about schooling, no one says, quick, let's do something radically indifferent. They all want to say they're doing something radically indifferent, but they usually don't. And this turns very quickly into a conservative definition of quality. You rarely hear parents getting up and demanding, you know, varied quality materials in their schools. Let's put some crap in there and see if the kids can pick it out. It's not a popular PTA position. And so what you get is you get an environment that only wants to get good stuff. Now, you may take issue with how they define good stuff, but at least it's from a consistent perspective. And it tends to be a conservative one, which if it's not good, or if it's kind of good, or if it might be good, let's not try it. And then you add on to that standardized testing, which then goes to academic standards and says this is what's good, things that match this, which turn into things like teaching for the test and even more conservative use of curriculum. And then on top of this, you add a very restricted infrastructure. With things like federal policy with E-rate, you get people filtering the internet, you get people restricting access, you get legislation that says, let's get rid of MySpace. What you end up with is a very vanilla environment. And so when you look at students doing information seeking in this environment, it's really not so much seeking as information being pushed at them, information direction in this environment. Now, this is the third level digital divide issue. She's educating me. And I think it's really true, which is as you look at this, you say, this is hopeless. Well, it's close. But what we were determining with credibility was, how can you teach students credibility assessment if you can't show them the range of things they're going to encounter? You could do information literacy till you're blue in the face, but if they can't actually get through the firewalls, you can't show them the negative examples. And by the way, why are we bothering to teach credibility when what we want to do is only give them credible stuff, and so therefore what they get in the classroom, we don't need to teach them how to determine what's good or bad. Now, What we've also seen, though, is that there is a... Yes, I am the killjoy. No, but there's also an interesting reaction to this that's happening in youth. I think that as you look at youth as an information-seeking population, it's very rich, but you don't look in the classroom. You look at what they're doing for their homework assignments. You look at what they're doing in the public libraries. You look at what they're doing outside of when they're in this controlled bubble. And what we see when you look in this controlled bubble is you look at participation and conversation. What we're seeing, and this is based on some early work of Gordon Pask in conversation theory and what we're calling the participatory model, is you see a drive on the part of youth that when they construct knowledge, they construct it through conversation, through participation. They talk to each other. They talk amongst themselves. They talk to themselves. It's called metacognition. And you see a conversation occurring which isn't about information happening, and it isn't about traditional look at one person at the sites they visit. What you need to do is sort of look at the group and the sites that they visit. And so it really expands information seeking to a group behavior. And we're seeing this pressure happen at all the different levels on the internet. Now, this is something called the Lankes-Eisenberg framework, because narcissism means you name everything after yourself. And with Lankes and Eisenberg, you're guaranteed. So, at the bottom level, you have infrastructure. Infrastructure, TCP/IP, DNS, the basic guts of the internet. Even what's interesting about the internet is if you look at previous online distributed massive scale networks like AOL and CompuServe and Prodigy and however far you want to go back, they've fallen by the wayside to a participatory model, which is that I should be able to control the infrastructure with which I am working. I should be able to determine what filters I put on it, what routing protocols I put. It's a distributed system, and we all are sort of part of it. Well, what's interesting in the K-12 environment is you see the rise of things like PeaceFire. PeaceFire is a group of students who are disgruntled because with E-rate funding, all their internet were filtered. And when they went and said, what's being filtered, no one knew the answer. And Francis Harris talks a lot about the idea of blind installs of infrastructure. They put it on, they turn it on, they don't bother what it's doing. Well, PeaceFire was a set of students, and it's become past students now, that looked at it and said, this is what's being filtered, and actually testing and pushing against it and saying, this is the change we want, going to things like the ACLU and the Electronic Frontier Foundation, says, we want a voice in our infrastructure. We're seeing this at the level of application. So applications now are what runs on top of that very basic infrastructure, like the web, like the browsers. The internet, once again, was a model where it said, if you don't like my browser, write your own. If you don't like the web, write your own. I mean, the web sort of started because Gopher wasn't good enough for what Tim Berners-Lee needed. Right? Email started because there was a grad student who wanted to send messages back and forth, so he wrote it. So the idea is, if you have a great idea on the internet, write it. And so you look at things like the International Children's Digital Library and Allison Druin's work at Maryland, where they brought kids in to design interfaces and systems, and you can see participation. We want not only a voice in where we can go, but the vehicles that take us there. Now what's interesting is you look at the services. So here are the people who use the infrastructure, use these tools to provide their information. Right? This is the digital library layer. And the interesting thing at the digital library layer is that if people don't like what's happening, they now have a voice. If you didn't like your teacher before, you could complain to the teacher, your parents, the principal. Now you can broadcast on the internet whether they're hot or not. Yes. So you're seeing the idea that if this infrastructure is too restricted, if this space is too restricted, we now have open access to this infrastructure and can create alternative voices. It's not happening in the controlled environment, it's happening outside of. And lastly, you see the users themselves in the information seeking, they're looking at things like IM Buddies list as part of their search engine. It's not just let's go to Google. That's an oversimplification. Students go to Google because other students went to Google and found success. It's the idea that they have a click, right? This idea of the cult of Google. Well, a cult means at least they're getting together on the Saturday night, right? And so the idea, this is a rough crowd. God. Right. So the idea is that now information seeking has very much become a participatory, a conversational, a group activity. And so as we go in, I guess my last line that I will then get off is, when you look at information seeking, don't use the stereotype of I will go into a classroom and I will look at a student and how they go about getting information, because you will get a skewed view of a restricted environment, and you will get a skewed view because you're only looking at one student who's part of a much bigger social context in which they are seeking information. So with that, I will shut up.